Okay, we stopped, if you remember, at the double dots on Yud Aleph Abud Aleph. They have this siman here. They include simanim to help you memorize things. The simanim relate to the content. Fine. Right. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda ve Rabba.
Got it.
Yud Aleph towards the top.
Yeah.
Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda ve Rabbanan. That was disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Chad Omer mivnei shneim vechad Omer mipnei sheshihim vechad Amar mipnei shehem shel Torah. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan say that there was that Yeshua did not what exactly that there is a problem that Yeshua delayed being mafresh the cities until after there was a full chalukah of the aretz, right? And somebody said that no, it's because they're min ha Torah. Okay. Vayichtoiv, the pasuk says in Yeshua, Vayichtoiv Yeshua sadvarim ha'ele b'sefer Torah Elohim. He wrote these things into the Torah Elohim. Pligiba, this is what they're disagreeing about. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia. R'chadei mer shemine psukim v'chadei mer arei michlat. Somebody, one person says that we're talking about the last eight psukim of the Torah. Meaning what? Right? The last eight psukim of the Torah happened after Moshe Rabbeinu died. So the question is, did Moshe Rabbeinu write them? Right? One of them says that Yehoshua wrote them, and one of them says, no, we're talking about, right, that we're talking about the Arei Miklat. Right? He set aside the Arei Miklat. Right? The one who says he wrote down the last episode, it makes perfect sense. The Torah says the Sefer Yehoshua says that he wrote into the Sefer Torah. Elamanda Amar Arei Miklat, my Sefer Torah Elohim. But for the person who says that he set aside Harim Mikvah, what does it mean he wrote in the Torah? He didn't write anything in the Torah, right? Hakamar, this is what it says. Ve'ichtav Yeshua v'sifro esadavrim ha'ele aksum v'sefer Torah Elohim. Yeshua wrote in his Sefer the things that were written in the Sefer Torah of God. Okay. Sefer Shetafrei Pishton Pligi Bar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Meir. We're now talking about, we've learned on the tangent, a sefer that you stitch together using flax or using linen. Right, is that any good? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir disagree. Chad Omer kasher, Chad Omer pasul. Rabbi Meir says kasher. One of them says kasher, and one says pasul. We pass in its pasul. The manner of pasul dichsev lamanti a Torah Hashem beficha veiskesh kol a Torah kula letzvilin matzvilin haalacha lameshu b'sinai letzoy from begidin kol a Torah from begidin. So there's a pasuk in Tefillin that says Leman yeh tiyeh teres Hashem beficha. So the Torah of God will be in your mouth, right? The reason why you're putting Tefillin is so the Torah will be in your mouth. Just as so, that means that the Torah was compared to Tefillin. Just as Torah, we have a halacha l'moshe misinai that everything has to be mina mutar beficha, right? So it has to be things that you're allowed to eat, and there's a, sorry, that's a different thing, right? Just as with tefillin, right? Tefillin, we have a din. We do have a din of minimum mutar b'ficha, but let's talk about a different din here. Tefillin, we have a din that it has to be halacha meishu misina. It has to be sewed together with the intestines of the animal, or the gidin. Excuse me, not the intestines. Whatever that's part of the animal called. I don't even know. Like nerves or something, the whatever it's called. Sinews, that's it. Right? With cow sinews. So too you have to stitch together a Tefer Torah that day. Ve'idach ki iskash lemuter beficha lehilchosav lo iskash. The other person says no. When it was compared to Torah, it was compared to the issue of mina mutar beficha. So the Torah, a Sefer Torah, just like tefillin, has to be made from things that are a mutar for you to eat. So you can't, I don't know, make a Sefer Torah from... You can't stitch the Sefer Torah together with things that come from pork. Right? Everything that comes from the Sefer Torah has to be things that are mutter for you to eat. But for all of its halachos, it was not compared to tefillin. So the tefillin we had is din, halacha meshem esinai has to be sewed together with gidin. That does not apply to our Sefer Torah, and therefore flax or linen is perfectly good.
But like a gid from like a kosher animal.
It'd be fine. You'd still be fine, right? Just not necessary. Amar Rav. Rav said, Chazinan lehulas vilin de vechavivi desviri bechisna velesal vechal vasakavase. Rav said, I saw in the house of my uncle, who was Rabbi Chia, right, that he stitched together his tefillin with flax. And he's wrong. We don't pass him that way. Right? There's a halacha mishmithinai that is not the way we do tefillin.
Okay.
Fine. No, the Mishnah says, "Echad meshuvach b'shem neishcha, ve'echad mamerubeb godim, ve'echad she'avar mimshichusoy, machzirin es ha'reteach." The reteach comes back if the Kohen Gadol dies, right? We have that din. So that includes a Kohen Gadol who was Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishkah. So we have the Shemen HaMishkah, the oil of anointment, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu came up, that Moshe Rabbeinu created, right? Moshe Rabbeinu made it, and then he, you know, anointed all the Kelim in the Mishkan, and he anointed Aaron, and he anointed Aaron HaKohen, he anointed the sons of Aaron HaKohen, and after that, every Kohen Gadol gets anointed with the same Shemen HaMishkah that Moshe Rabbeinu originally created, right? Then what happened with it?
It lost.
When?
Together with the Aaron.
When? I'm sorry?
Urban
Bais Rishon. I'm sorry?
Guessing then by Babylonian.
No. Yeshua Melech hit it. Right, Yeshua Melech hit both the Aaron and the Shemen Mishkel. We don't know what happened with them. Right, the first one Tanakh says. Okay. So. That's very unlikely. It was hidden in Beis Rishon. How would it get to Rome? Some people say that. I don't understand where they got it from. It's bizarre. Like, how would it get to Rome? In the menorah, well, we know that they took the menorah from the Beis Mikdash, right? We have that on the Arch Titus. Right? You even know from there what the menorah looked like. It must have looked like the Beis Sheni. Because, you know. They assume that they didn't create a totally random picture of someone. They saw it, and that's what they made it like what it actually looked like.
The meaning is chilling in the Vatican.
Oh, I have no idea if it's still there, but it's a possibility. Okay, so fine. So that includes a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with that same oil before Yeshua Melech hid the oil of the Shemen HaMishkah. And it includes a Kohen Gadol who was after Yeshua Melech. So how does a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol after Yeshua Melech? We no longer have the Shemen HaMishkah. Well, they just put the eight big bottom of the Kohen Gadol on him instead of the four bottom of Kohen Hedyot, and they told him to do a Avodah, and then that was how he, you know, became Kohen Gadol. So a Kohen Gadol who became Kohen Gadol that way, also if he dies, the Ritzach HaShkaga comes back. And even a Kohen Gadol who was sacked for whatever reason, right? So what's the case? The primary case is really a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. If a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur became Tomei, right, then the Sgan Kohen Gadol will take his place and deal with everything for him. After Yom Kippur is finished, he goes back, he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. The original Kohen Gadol comes back being Kohen Gadol. And that second Kohen Gadol has the status of a Kohen Gadol, but he can't do a Voida as a Kohen Gadol. In fact, he doesn't do a Voida at all, ever again. Right? So, if that Kohen Gadol dies, that also means the Ritzach Bishgadol comes back.
So, like this scan kind of...
If he became Kohen Gadol.
Oh, if he was Kohen Gadol.
If he became Kohen Gadol, right? There are other ways it can happen, but that's the primary way. Right? Machzirin es ha-reteach. They get the reteach comes back from the Yimrikla. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, af mashuach milchama machzir es ha-reteach. So Rabbi Yehuda says, also mashuach milchama. So, what's a mashuach milchama? Who knows? Sorry?
You ran a gun.
ask people if they are scared of him.
So yes, the coin. There was a coin who was anointed with the term Ishtar, right? And in a case of certain wars, right? This coin would go out and he'd start telling people, right? Who is So who did kiddushin but did not yet do nisuin with his wife, and who built a house but wasn't yet mechanek the house, and who built an orchard but didn't actually get to eat the fruits yet because they're still orla. All these people, or who's just downright terrified. All these people should go home rather than take part in the army. Right, that's the person who says this. I'm not going to go into the details of the halachas now. It's a sugi in Masechet Sota, right? The person who says all these things—that's called.
He's called the Mashuach Milchama.
Right, Machziris. Rabbi Yehuda says he also Machziris Ritzach. He, or if he dies, also the Ritzach comes back. Why? Because even though he only wears four Godim, so he doesn't—he's not going Godol. He was still Mashuach Hashem in Amishcha, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's the operative point. Right. Lefichach, therefore, the Moseim shall koanim mesap koislahen and mikyaksos bishalis palu abneim sheyamosu. Therefore, the mothers of koanim gdolim would send gifts. They would send clothing and food to Ratzach Bishkago, who was living near Miklat, so that they won't daven for the koan gadol to die. Okay. Right? Mana animili, where does all this come from? Amarav kana daman krava yeshav baad moisa koan gadol. The pasuk says that he will sit in the city until the Kohen Gadol dies. And we have another pasuk which says the same thing. And it says that after the Kohen Gadol, he can return. Is the rest of the pasuk right? And Rabbi Yehuda has another pasuk that lashuv lashevet baretz ad moisa koin. He should sit in the land until the death of the kohen, right? Okay, so we have three psukim which say that he will sit in the Yermiklat until the kohen agadol dies. So that tells us there are three different Kohanim Gdolim who can die and return him back to his home, right? So, Mashuach B'Shem and Mishpa, Merubat Gdolim, and a Kohen Avram Mimshichoso, the three cases in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda found a fourth Pasuk, which says that he will sit there until the Kohen dies, but it doesn't say the Kohen Gadol, right? So he understood that to refer to Mashuach Milchama, who's a Kohen, but who is not a Kohen Gadol. Right?
And other people?
Said it's no, one of those three, because it doesn't say Hagadol, it's just referring to one of the three we already mentioned. Okay.
Do you know we pass Kinloch?
We're always Rabbanon.
Always.
Yachid, unless you know otherwise, and there are a couple of rare exceptions, Yachid Varabim Halach Karabim. A few rules in Tzach, Yachid Varabim Halach Karabim, Rebbe Vechaveir Halach Karebi. Rabbi Vechavei Rav Halach Chavei Rav, Rabbi Akiva Vechavei Halach Karabi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Vechavei Halach Karabi Akiva Chavei Rav, and Beis Hillel Beishamai Halach Beis Hillel. To all those rules there are exceptions, but the exceptions are very rare. Lefichach im Moisehin Shel Kohanim. So we're talking about this comment in the Mishnah that the mothers of the Kohanim Golem used to send gifts to the Reitz Kibishkaga. Taima de Le Matzu Ha Matzu Maisi. So, they didn't daven, right? The Kohen Gadol didn't die because the Reitz Hakeshara wasn't davening that he should die. But if he davened, lechora it would work. That's what seems to be the implication of the Mishnah, right? My havilei lemeevad, right? What does the Kohen Gadol meant to do? Like, is this not the Kohen Gadol's fault? Why should he die early for the Reitz to be as the Reitz Hakadosh Baruch Hu is davening? Like, no, it's not nice, right? Hach amrinan tuv yechata vezigud mangid. So this is one of the cases where we say Tuv Yechata, Tuv Yedrasin, and Zigud Mangid. So, The case in this is a reference to a Gemara in Pesachim, right? Which says that Tuvia did a sin. Zigud came and gave Eidos that he did the sin in Beis Din, and Rava gave Malkos to Zigud, not to Tuvia, right? He gave Malkos to the aid and not to the guy who sinned, right? So the Gemara says, "Ask Rava, Tuvia chatav Zigud Malkos." It makes no sense. And the answer he gave is yes, because Zigud gave Eidos that was not operable. One aid cannot cause Malkos. So he was just saying Lashon Hara. Right? And that's why Rava gave him Malkos. Right? So here we say also, Acha Amrin Tufiachata the Zigud Mangis. One person sinned and the other person gets Malkos for it because he also did something not nice. What did he do that's not nice? Presumably he didn't. He didn't teach the generation well enough, and that's why they were roasted in Chicago or something. Right? Okay.
Wait,
can you explain that? Zigud, there Zigud did do something wrong. So the question is, what did the Kohen Gadol do wrong? Presumably he, didn't lead the generation well enough.
So meaning the Kohen Gadol does just as Zigud got
Malkos, even though he's not the actual one who did the action, right?
But it's not the same case. The Kohen Gadol doesn't testify against him. Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay. Hasam Amri, Shem, Nasiv, Umavgai, Gazar. Right? So there in Eretz Yisrael they say the same idea in a similar way. Shrem abducted Dina and raped her and wanted to marry her, right? But Bnei Yaakov killed the men in the city, right? Even though they weren't the ones who actually did the sin, right? There are sometimes cases where even the person who didn't actually perform the sin gets punished. Okay. Amar Hahu Sab Mavgai is presumably, somebody who lived in the city with Shem, right? Some guy there. Amar Hahu Sab Ambi Pirkei De Rava Shmili Shehayelahen Levakish Rakamim Al Doram Velipik. So then there's some grandpa who said, he explains it. He says, no, the Kohen Gadol, I heard in Rava's lesson that the Kohen Gadol should have davened for his generation that these sorts of things shouldn't happen. And since he didn't daven well enough, now he's chayev if something happened. Okay. And that's similar to the case where there was somebody, three parsois, which is relatively close to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who got eaten by a lion, right? That's what it says, right? And Eliyahu Navi didn't appear to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi for a whole 3 days afterwards. Because Rabbi Shulman Levi should have done for that person. The fact that he didn't means that he did something wrong. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kil Aschachim Afilu Bechinam Hiba. So, in this general theme, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, if a Chacham curses someone, even if it's faithless, even if that person didn't do anything wrong, the curse will be fulfilled, right? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu likes answering the prayers of Chachamim. Minalan. Why? Me'achi Tevil. How do we know this? We know this from Achitofel. Who was Achitofel? So Achitofel was a person who was around with David HaMelech, right? And when David HaMelech, he was digging a pit for the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash because he was preparing the ground, literally. Right? So, when he did this, right? Shisin kafa tahoma ba'ala mishtaf al-alma. Some tremendous flood was threatening to cover the entire world with water. Why? No. He wasn't building it, he was just digging a pit. So maybe I don't know. Ramadan thinks I think he's right. Said it. I think he's right. I'll explain why I think he's right in a minute. Ramadan thinks because of the Chet of Bathsheba. Ramadan says, and he's obviously right, that that was ironic. What does it mean? You pick all the people who sinned in the Tanakh and say they didn't sin, and if you say they sin, you're wrong, you're being ironic. Right? It's like, don't be so frum and say that nobody ever sinned. Right? Right? So, right, there was a giant flood that was coming in the world. Amar mao lichtov shema chasbao mishta betahoma. Deleku aduchte. David said, why? Maybe I should write a Shema Hashem on a piece of cheres and chuck it into this water so that the water will stop rushing in. Where do you get this idea from? From Soita. Right? There's a Soita, that's exactly what we do. We write HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name out on a piece of, on a parchment, and then we put it into the water so it gets rubbed out. So David Miller, can you do the same thing here? Right? So hence Rabbi Dan's argument, this is probably, probably referring to the Chet of Batsheva. Right, that's probably the reason why, because there is also a married woman, right? Later, the Amri Lemidi. Nobody answered the question: should he do this or should he not? Amra Kolir Deidara Zevino Amri Chanek Begrunet. So David HaMelech says, anybody who answers my question, who knows the answer to my question, and doesn't answer me, should choke. Nasachi Sofil Kalvachomer Asmei. Achi Sofil was done a Kalvachomer about himself. Amaru Malas Say Shalom Ben Ishli. Shtei Amra Teira Shemi Shenikla Bikdusha Yimach Elamayim Shekola Kolalam Kula Leikol Shekin. Amarle Shari. So Achi Sofil came up with a Kalvachomer. He said, if we're willing to rub out God's name to bring Shalom between a man and his wife, to prove to a person that his wife did not cheat on him, because presumably if she drinks the water and she doesn't drop dead, you know, she doesn't like actually, you know, explode or whatever it is, right, then she in fact did not cheat on him, and he'll know that and he'll trust her after that, then Kol Shekein, to save the entire world, it's mutter to rub out God's name in the water. And so we told David HaMelech that it is permitted. Right? Kasav Shema Chasba Shadi Atehima Nachas Vekam Aduchtei. Right? And so David HaMelech did it, and he wrote the name on the clay, and he chucked it into the waters, and the water stopped rushing in, and the world was not destroyed by a flood. Apparently that was what had to happen. If he hadn't done that, the world would have been destroyed. The message is important. I don't know if this actually, I don't remember anywhere in Tanakh this actually happened. Like, and even so, it says, and Achisofel saw that what he had advised David HaMelech to do in a different case was not done, right? And he saddled his donkey and he went back to his house, which was in his city, right? And he gave an order to his servants, right? He gave very service to his servants, and he died, right? So that shows that David, he actually choked. So David HaMelech's curse was fulfilled. Amarabi Avahu Kilas Chacham Afilu Al Tznaihi Ba. Right, so Rabbi Avol says, "Kilas Chatam." Even if it was a tznai, it'll happen. Right, even if it was a conditional curse and the condition was not fulfilled, it'll happen. Minalad, how do we know? Me'eli. Right, because of Eli. Who was Eli? Who knows who Eli was? When?
In the time when Shmuel was a nine.
Very good. And what happened with Eli? Who was Eli? What's the story? What's the story? Yes, his sons. They used to. Sorry? Yeah, his sons were terrible people. They used to sleep with the women who came to the Olamoid to bring karbonos and mechule. They're bad people. They stole money. Yeah, they stole karbonos, right? Bad, bad people. And he didn't stop them. Right? Meili dekaamar leili shmoa koyas elicha olehim vechoyosif im techachid mini davar v'afal gav desiv v'yageli shmoa eskaladarim v'leikichin menu v'lachiksiv v'lei halchu banav v'darchav v'goymer. So Eli cursed Shmuel if Shmuel did not tell him everything that was going on, everything that he was told by God. And even and Shmuel told Eli everything. And even so, it says that Shmuel's children were also not so good. Right? In fact, the reason why the Levites come to Shmuel and demand a king is because Shmuel's sons were not as good as their father. So they were no great shakes. Very similar to Eli's sons. I don't know if they were as bad, but whatever. Yeah, we'll continue tomorrow.